Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, always do right. It will gratify some people and astonish others. We're happy to have this privilege of Bible study today, and we're glad you're listening to Bible Meditations. All right, we return now to our discussion, our study, and as we do study, we're looking at an account that we read about in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Now, Josiah has become the king. Josiah has determined that he's going to return the people of God to where they used to be in their worship and their activities. But in the course of that, he overthrew many of the idol high places that were round about, and he removed those things. Now he has turned his attention to the temple, and money is found that it might be revamped, it might be done over. And in the course of all of this, the word of God was found. Hilkiah found the book of the law, and he gave it to Shaphan, and then eventually it came before the king. The king then has it read before the people, and they listened to the good teachings that came from the law of God. Now, it might be that when we think about that, we'd wonder how in the world could anything as precious to the people of God as the Word of God could be lost? How could they overlook, how could they not have in everyday use those things that were spoken by God? But before you become too heavy in condemnation of those people at that time, remember, we're living in a world which has very little time for the Word of God. Even though the Bible is inspired of God, it contains no errors. It was given by inspiration, and the men wrote what God told them to write. Still, at the same time, the men of the world round about us decide the Bible is not that important in their lives. The creeds of men are held above what God has said in His Word. An example of that is simply this. The Bible says we're not justified by faith only. The creed books, however, say we're justified by faith only, and it's a wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. Which one's right? Of course, the Bible is. But people still hold to the creeds that men advance. There are some who come along and say, well, you don't have all of the Bible, and you need more Bible than you have revealed. There are people who tell us, well, there are some books that are the lost books, and you need those books the same as the Bible, and so they try to supply extra books along this particular line. I can remember hearing sometime a faithful gospel preacher telling about a discussion he had with a person who said, I have some books that are not in your Bible. And he said, these books are needed as well as the books that are in your Bible. The preacher asked him, do you think that I have enough that will get me to heaven? And the man answered, oh, yes, you have enough to get you to heaven. And the preacher said, well, that's as far as I want to go anyhow. Well, I think you can see the humor of that, but you also can see that God doesn't give to us things that are not needed. And the addition to the Bible would be of things that are not needed, things that God didn't deem necessary for our salvation. So we're not surprised when the Bible writers speak of the Bible and tell us that it is complete. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything we need is in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, when Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he said the man of God is completely furnished unto every good work. So he doesn't need anything in addition to the Bible or the Word of God. All of that means that the Bible needs to be respected and treated with respect always. When someone reads a passage from the Bible, it ought to be considered in context, and it ought to be listened to, and we ought to be submissive to the will of God when we read it. Now, of course, there has to be a proper division under the Bible. It would be foolish for a man to just pick the Bible up and say, I'll just start reading wherever the Bible falls open. He may be reading one time about the children of Israel at the time of the division of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, in the context of where we're studying today, and tomorrow he may be reading Paul's letter to the church at Rome. These are different books under different contexts, and therefore there has to be a proper division. No wonder Paul would tell Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or properly handling the word of truth. The word of God, then, is God's will for mankind, and it is what God wants you and I to be listening to and doing, and therefore respecting those things that are taught in the word of God. Look at this great statement in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. Paul says, the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is that word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endures forever. What does that mean? It means that God's word will always exist. It's not going to be wiped out. You could overlook it like the people of Israel did. You could forget that you had it like the people did in the account we're looking at from 2 Chronicles 34. But the fact is, the word of the Lord endures forever. That just simply means that you and I are going to face God's word throughout our lifetime, and we're going to answer for how we have responded to it when our life here upon the earth is over. The books that will be open in judgment are the books that have come from God. John said, I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by the things that were written in the books. My friends, what God has written will be present in judgment. You and I will account to the Lord for how we have responded to what the Word of God says. I may decide I don't like what the Bible says, therefore I'll ignore it, but it will be there in judgment. I may decide, well, there are many people who don't agree with what the Bible says on that subject, so I'll just turn away and go with the majority. But when all is said and done, it won't be majority rule when judgment comes. It will be an accounting to God for what he has done and for what he has said. Well, certainly, as we look at the Word of God then, we're looking at a book that must be treated properly and fairly during life. It is just simply amazing that a book so important to mankind could be lost. But when we make the application to our world today, we see exactly the same kind of situation. Let me ask you this. How much time have you spent in the past week in reading the Bible? How many times have you approached the Word of God to learn concerning your conduct? Is the Bible only a book that is used in some other way instead of a guidebook for mankind? Is it just simply a book to grace your coffee table? A book that looks good if it's on an end table in your house and you have company coming and they look around and they see there's a Bible in this house. Is that the reason you have a Bible? Do you suppose that's why God had men write by inspiration the things that are recorded in the Bible? Do you think the Bible ought to be used merely as a place to keep records? A lot of people put obituaries in their Bible. They'll put in there who got married and when they got married, and it becomes a record book for the people who are reading along these lines. Well, friends, God had in mind something more than that, and we need to respect and not allow the Word of God to be lost from us. We appreciate studying with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.